Good morning, church. It's so great to be with you this morning. Welcome to church this morning. I want to start off by asking you a question here this morning. Have you ever been in a deep conversation with someone that you're so involved in this conversation that you've lost track of time? It's happened many times to me, and unfortunately, along with Eva waiting, my apologies to Eva. You walked by two people that are talking so intently that when you walked in, you felt the intensity or the pressure in the room. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or I've had many of those. You have to, go on a long drive and you find that someone that can come along with you on that long drive so that they may listen to all that you have to say. That happened many times to me as well. But you know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm talking about. So the scripture that I want to talk to you about from today is from Luke chapter 24. And the title of my message is called 14 miles. It is the road back to Jerusalem. Verse 33, and it says that, and within an hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. These two disciples, it's from the story of the road to Emmaus. So there's a scenario in the Bible when two disciples were talking, or they were walking and talking, going out of Jerusalem and going towards the village of Emmaus, that the Roman Empire has sanctioned this crucifixion. All this has happened prior to this. The Jewish leaders has made a spectacle of Jesus. Jesus was brutally beaten, tore his back, pierced his ribs, put him on the cross and crucified him. All this stuff was happened right before this, a couple of days before. And the greatest moment in history is happening when heaven is colliding with earth, and these two disciples are calling it quits. They're getting out of Jerusalem because there's this rumor that his tomb is empty, and you know what they did to Jesus, and they're on this road to Emmaus, probably back to their hometown. They're talking about all of their disappointments and how sad they are that, all the stuff that has transpired in the last couple of days, their hope is gone. They put everything into this. They were traveling in the wrong directions, away from Jerusalem, away from the promises of God, away from the things of God. And they were walking away from the place that the Holy Spirit was promised to fall. Luke 24, verses 13 and 14. That same day, the two of the Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And so just imagine the conversation. They're talking about all the stuff that was happening, things that Jesus did and who he was, this man from Nazareth. He was a prophet. He did powerful miracles, crazy things. He was a mighty teacher. He was a hope. They had hoped that he was the Messiah that had come to rescue Israel. And this Cleopas guy, one of the guys in the story, says, hey, we better get out of Jerusalem. See, Jesus' tomb is empty and the Jewish leaders are probably going to get us because all this has happened. They're probably going to come after us just like Jesus. Were you ever in this situation where you were disappointed and sad and, things didn't turn out the way you wished it to? See, out of disappointment with God and in our lives, that sometimes we walk away from the promises of God. We talk about the if, and, or buts, all that stuff could have, would have, should have happened. How many of us had stood in the intersection of expectations and disappointments? See, you expect one thing and you get something else. Maybe you hope your child will turn out one way and he or she, turned out some other way. You trained for a position maybe, but they gave it to somebody else. You hoped your marriage would last, but he or she may have walked out. You thought your life would be in one place by now, but you're stuck somewhere else. People who you thought may be there for you, maybe they weren't. We would be more patient if we knew how long our trials would last. But unfortunately, we don't. We don't know that. Have you ever asked why? Why did this happen to me? Why? How many of us have stood at the intersection of expectations and disappointments? See, there's a fine line between disappointments and unmet expectations and bitterness and resentment. See, the emotions that we get out of unmet expectations when we're at this place is huge. You know, you experience primarily a few of these emotions. Number one, anger. You may feel mad that you didn't get what you wanted to, or you blame someone else or others, or even sometimes God. Sometimes you feel sadness. You grieve the loss of what didn't happen, or fear. You feel afraid that expectations will continue to go unmet. See, for small expectations, these emotions are barely detectable, but you know they do exist to some degree. The bigger the difference between what was expected and what you got, the greater emotion you're going to feel on what just happened, right? So, see, the disciples had an expectation about Jesus, but their hope was on that cross. Their hope was all lost for what they saw. Verse 15 of 24 says, as they talked, or as you talked and discussed the things, Jesus himself began, or he catches up to them, right, on the 7-mile journey. And so Jesus catches up to you in your life. And, you know, 7 miles, about an hour and a half walk if you're walking really fast. Verse 15 says, he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? A lot has happened in the last 3 days for them, right? And maybe a lot has happened in your life in the last week, maybe even today, last year, last month, whatever it is. A lot has happened in your life. They were a part of a pinnacle part of history, and all hope was lost. It says they stopped short. Sadness was written across their face. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only one in Jerusalem, talking to Jesus, that hasn't heard about the things that have happened in these last few days. They explained that their followers, the other ones that were in Jerusalem, said that the tomb was empty, the body was missing, that angels had showed up and said that he's alive. All this controversy is happening, and some women from their group of followers were at the tomb early that morning, and they came back with an amazing report saying that his body was missing, and that they had seen angels that had told them that Jesus was alive. Some of the men ran out, and sure enough, his body was missing, just as the woman have said. Jesus then clearly, He spends time with these disciples and tells them from the scripture, from Tanakh, or the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible, concerning himself. So Jesus talks about himself and tells them, hey, this is all that is said. And so when they reach that place of Emmaus, you know, verses 28 onwards, by that time they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he was going, but they begged him to stay that night. And since it was getting late, so, you know, he stays with these two disciples, and they sat down to eat, and he took that bread in his hand and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And then suddenly something happened, and that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, Jesus disappears. See, when we're walking in our lives and we're walking through the tough times and the hard times and the struggles, it's hard to see God is with us. When we're walking through the struggles in life, it's hard to see that God is actually with us through this time. Only at the end of our dilemma or after the healing process do we realize that, oh man, that was God that was with me. You know, we look back and say, wow, that breakup that happened, that was God. You know, see, it doesn't feel like God was in it when it happened. Or maybe, you know, when we lost that job, it didn't feel that great. But when we look back, man, that was God, because this is where you are today. When that detour in life happened, we didn't see it, but that was God. When we missed that opportunity, we didn't see it, but that was God. You see something, see when something happened when Jesus broke that bread. They sat down and he took that bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. Something happens when Jesus breaks that bread, when we are broken, when Jesus' body was broken for us, when on that cross, when he was broken, when we're at a place of brokenness, Jesus is revealed. See, in the Jewish Bible, it says, as he was reclining with them at the table, he took the matzah, which is bread, he made the baraka broke it and handed it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The baraka means, it says, what they say is, praise be you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. That is the baraka that they say. And Jesus says this. And here are 2 points of why the Jewish people say this while they're having a meal. First is the blessing, they're blessing the meal, right? So it's sensible that one thank God for what they've received. Moreover, it went on a full stomach. So they say a longer baraka that kind of gives them after. So they say it after they have their meal, but they thank God, right? They thank God for the meal, that it came from him. And secondly, the object of the blessing is God, not the food. So what they do is they thank God that it is because of him, right, that they receive the food. It is because of him that they have food. See, we rather think, you know, of just thanking God for the food, but we thank him for providing the food. So essentially, when Jesus broke the bread, he was thanking God for the provision of the bread of life. And the bread of life is whom? Is Jesus. That he, when he broke that bread before them, it is actually thanking God for Jesus himself for what he had done on that cross. And Jesus clearly explains from the Tanakh concerning himself, so they may see the revelation of who Jesus is during this time. And verses 32 to 35, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on that road, as he opened the scriptures? And says, within an hour, they reached back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said that the Lord had really risen. He appeared to Peter as well. And Jesus appears to the disciples, and the two from Emmaus told them about how Jesus appeared to them and how they were walking along the road and how they recognized him only when the breaking of the bread happened. Something happens when he breaks the bread. As he explained to them, from the scriptures, the disciples say, did not our hearts burn? They had sensed during this time of his exposition, of sharing with them, that Jesus was revealing himself. He was the final atonement for the sins of mankind. Can you just imagine the conversation as he reminds them of the things in the Old Testament, where he starts from Genesis 3:15, where it says that he would put an enmity between the woman and the serpent, that he would crush the head of the serpent, that he would crush the sin that was brought into this world by that serpent. Or imagine him talking about Abraham sacrificing Isaac. Can you imagine that the Lord tells Abraham, sacrifice your son, the one whom you love, on that mountain of Moriah? Or imagine, Jesus talking to them about the Passover lamb that would be smeared on the doorpost. Or even more importantly, from Leviticus, where it talks about the Day of Atonement, where God would find his day as that he would forgive the sins of the Jewish people. Yom Kippur. Actually, matter of fact, this evening is the start of Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the Jewish people, where the two goats are represented. One was slaughtered for the sins of man that was placed upon it, and the other, all the sins of man were prayed over the head of this goat, and was then released or loosed into the wilderness as a scapegoat, both representing Jesus. See, the day that Moses came down from the mountain was forever known to be, from that day onwards, as the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. That year, the people built the tabernacle, which is a portable home for God. The tabernacle was a center for prayer and sacrificial offerings. The service in the tabernacle would climax at Yom Kippur, where the high priest would perform a special prescribed service. Highlights of the service included, you know, offerings, incense offerings, and in the Holy of Holies where the ark was to be housed, and then they would release, they would get the two goats, one which again was brought as a sacrifice, and the other was to be sent out into the wilderness to represent that the man, that Jesus would be a scapegoat for mankind, where he would be released, where the goat would be released into the wilderness with the sins of mankind over it. Or even in Deuteronomy, where Jesus would be talking to them about the capital offense. Let me just read that scripture for you in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. If a man has committed sin deserving of death, he is to be put to death, and you shall hang him on a tree. Can you imagine that? Or in Zechariah verse, you know, chapter 9, verse 9, it talks about this, where, you know, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Can you imagine the scriptures that are revealed to these two disciples? And in verse 30 of Luke, you know, as they sat and he took the bread and he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples, gave it to them, and suddenly their eyes opened. That Jesus was recognizable, that they recognized Jesus at that moment of conversation. As you've revealed Jesus, is Jesus being revealed to you today? Through our spiritual journeys with God, and when we find the revelation of Christ as the final atonement, he is revealed in our lives as the one that would redeem us for eternity. See, this moment, the moment that they recognized him, they did one thing. They were on their way back to Jerusalem, back to the promise, awaiting that encounter with the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 33 of Luke 24, and within an hour they were back, or on their way back to Jerusalem. And so this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you on your way back to Jerusalem? Are you on your way back to experiencing God? See, through the struggles and the hard times in life that we walk through, only when we realize in this conversation with God, as he reveals himself through the word, as he reveals himself through the scriptures, as we listen to the word of God, and as we have this time, this intimate time with God, breaking of the bread, when you are broken, when his body was broken. I know that this is not Easter, but I really sensed in my heart to bring to you this word of encouragement as you walk with him to Emmaus, as you walk with Jesus on a daily basis. I want you to know that even through the trials, and even through the hard times, and even through the tough times in life, that Jesus is walking with you. But you got to come to a point of breaking bread with him. You got to come to a point of allowing him to come into your house. Let him stay a night. Let him stay and say, hey, I want to have the revelation of Jesus in my life. If you would open the scriptures, if you would take time and open the scriptures that are before you, and allow him to reveal himself through the scriptures, that he is the Lord of your life, that he is able to take you through all that you need to go through, so that God be glorified through your life. Friends, I want you to recognize this, that when we walk through times of struggle, we may not see as if, we may not know that Christ is with us, because it's hard when we're going through the struggles. But when we get to Emmaus, just like these disciples, when they got to Emmaus, they had that time where Jesus broke that bread and said thanks before God, that we thank God for the struggles we walk through. And when we do, we then get a revelation of who Jesus is. We get a revelation of what Jesus is able to do in our lives when he is revealed in us, or in our lives, or in our hearts. The moment that Jesus is revealed, we go back to the promises of God. We go back to the words that he has spoken over our lives. We go back to the things of the Holy Spirit. Because see, the disciples had to go back to Jerusalem, had to go back to the promise to encounter the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to ask you, have you had a revelation of Jesus that made you have that experience with the Holy Spirit? See, it's interesting that it's the Holy Spirit that leads us to Jesus, but Jesus leads us to the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit is released upon our lives will never be the same. Friends, this morning I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you on this 14-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus and back. Yes, that's 14 miles, 7 one way, 7 back. 7 miles, you know, sometimes some parts of your life you may be walking and you may not recognize Jesus. You may not be able to see Jesus in your life. You may not be able to understand what he is doing. But when we go back, when we are at Emmaus and when we are in conversation with Jesus, when we are reading his word and when we are experiencing Jesus and the revelation of Christ is in our lives, we then know that Jesus was walking with us all that way. And at that moment, he then is revealed. He then is in our hearts, and we go back. We go back to Jerusalem. We go back to the place that he has called us to. And so this morning, as you take time, and even this week, as you take time, I want you to recognize this one thing, that Jesus is revealed in our lives, I want you to know, I want you to experience your hearts burning with revelation, burning with understanding, burning with love for God, that when you go back to Jerusalem, the people are waiting, his disciples are waiting to see a revelation of Jesus. And so remember this very importantly, as you talk to your friends, as you talk to your fellow brothers in Christ, as you talk, as you walk in life, as you experience life, I want you to know what you're talking. Or I want you to recognize the things that you're talking about God. I want you to know that Jesus is in those conversations, that Jesus listens to those things. He comes, he catches up to you on your 7-mile journey with life. And he's asking you this question this morning. What are you so intently talking about? Are you talking about the sadness? Are you talking about the grief? Are you talking about the anger? Are you talking about the things in your life that didn't go the way you thought it may? But are you allowing God's words to permeate your life so that you may be able to experience God in a different way? These two disciples may have lost their hope. Their hope was on that cross. Everything was gone. Jesus was stripped, Jesus was bruised, Jesus was pierced, Jesus was spat on, Jesus, everything that Jesus went through was so that we may have hope. But that day when Jesus was on that cross and he gave up his spirit, everything was lost to those disciples. Everything was lost, but there was hope. And Jesus, you know, can you imagine this? That he had gone through all of that stuff that the Bible talks about. He was a spectacle for people to see. But yet, he catches up with these disciples on a journey. They may have been going back home saying, hey, I've had enough. I don't know what to do anymore. And he says to them, and reveals himself to them, and he says, man, do you not see that this is what's supposed to happen in your life, so that you may have the glory of God placed over you, that God's glory will be revealed through your life? And so this morning, is your hearts burning with the revelations of Jesus, so that he may be seen through your life? And so I encourage you this morning, as you go about your day and go about your week, that allow Jesus to be revealed through your struggles. Allow Jesus to be revealed through your hard times. That when you know, when you walk through the trials and the temptations in life, that when you make it to the other end, and before you go back to Jerusalem, a revelation of Jesus is born into your hearts. Because when you have a revelation of Jesus, I want you to understand something. the Holy Spirit is about to do something. The Holy Spirit is about to do something. When the revelation of Jesus is born in your heart, the Holy Spirit is about to do something in your life. So get excited, get motivated, and know that the Holy Spirit is about to work in your life this week. Amen. So let us pray. Father, Lord Jesus, as we walk through our struggles and things in life, we know that you are being revealed in our lives. Father, we thank you, O Lord, that when we walk through these things, that when you are revealed, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit is about to do some work, Father, Lord. And so today, Father, Lord, I just bless our people, Father, Lord, as they go, that they may, Father, Lord, experience you in a greater manner, Father, Lord. We thank you, O Lord, that you have been our final atonement, Father, Lord. So we may be reconciled to the Father. And so, Father, Holy Spirit, I just ask, O Lord, that you would do something great in our lives today, Father, Lord. So I bless our people, Father, Lord. Let your will be done as it is in heaven, Father, Lord. We thank you, Father, Lord, for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.